All right. Shabbat Shalom again. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us. Pull up a chair and let's get into the word of Yahweh tonight. Okay, we will start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you and we bless you for all the wonderful things you do in our life. We thank you for another week of life and we pray that we did something this week for you. We pray that we didn't just waste the life on ourselves, but we used it to bear fruit for your kingdom, the reason you created us. And we thank you, Father, for your word and pray that your spirit will guide and lead this study as we move forward. We give you praise and honor and glory and thank you, Father, for the great opportunity of having your word in our life and for the great sacrifice of sending your son to pay the penalty of our sins. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, we are going to be getting into Ezekiel 34 tonight. I'll go over some of these news articles. And maybe before I start, I'm just going to go over them quick because it's a long chapter. I'm not sure if we're going to get through all of 34 tonight, but we'll see how far we get. But because I just want to mention, I really don't have a lot of articles up here on the weather, the things going on in the weather, because they're pretty much everywhere in the news. But I do believe, you know, and again, we're coming to the very end of the Shemitah here in a couple of weeks. And the Shemitah is a time of building up, a time of tearing down. But wow, I'm starting to record all of the different weather conditions that we've had over this last year. And I don't know if you feel this way, but it does feel like they're intensifying. You know, I mean, some of these things are getting worse, like the fire in Hawaii, in which, wow, just finding out all the different things that have went on with this thing, and it's a lot more than just a fire happening, but that's for another story. And then again, the gigantic storm and the floods and the hurricane that came into from Mexico and South California that they said hadn't happened in more than 100 years. And major, I mean just major flooding, and we haven't really even hit into hurricane season yet. And I know last year we had some really horrific hurricanes down in Florida and different places. So I'm starting to record all of them to put together for when Shemitah ends, you know, some of the things that happened this year. But again, I just wanted to mention the weather-related things. I don't believe it's anything to do with global warming. I really believe it has to do with the end times. But I just wanted to mention it because, like I said, I didn't really have articles on it. But it is something that's pretty important. The first article I have here says, sharp rise in cost of food basics forces families to make desperate choices. So because the price of food is going up, it says the cost of some basic foods such as cheese, butter, and bread has soared by more than 30% in the last 2 years, forcing poor households to make desperate choices between keeping up their bill payments and putting food on the table. So, you know, here it is all of a sudden, like in the last maybe 3-4 months, they'll say, oh, inflation is slowing down. It's slowing down some. But if you're paying, let's say you're paying, you know, $1.50 for a carton of milk, and all of a sudden that goes up to $2 or $2.50. The fact that it stays there, it doesn't go any higher. It's only going up now maybe 2 cents a month. That's not helping you because your earnings aren't getting higher and aren't going up 30% and 50%. So here it is. You have a little bit amount of money. I know we do just to pay the bills and we budget, you know. And when these things go up so dramatically, it does make a big dent into your budget and how you have to look at things. So you could read when I send this out, you could read the article yourself. Here's a really interesting article that happened in Israel. It's going on. It says, Israel may uproot ancient Christian mosaic near Armageddon where it could go next sparks outcry. And I remember when this happened because actually we were supposed to be over there at Armageddon that day, and we found out that there was there was a breakout in the prison or something like that, and whatever caused they were looking underneath the prison at certain things for whatever after that, and they found one of the oldest mosaics, a Christian mosaic. And what makes this mosaic very interesting is it mentions not only Yeshua's name, but it mentions Yeshua's name as Elohim. Yeshua is Elohim. So you could see why, you know, because most of the time when there's mosaics and there's antiquities in Israel, they are not sending them out to other places. But the fact that the name Yeshua is in there and they wrote that he's Elohim is one of the reasons they want to, you know, ship this thing out to a museum in America, a Bible museum. But we'll see. It's an interesting article to go over. But you know, they're coming out with this article now. Like I said, this happened quite a few years ago. But I remember the day that it happened. Because, like I said, we were actually, you know, supposed to be there that day. Here's another one. Fresco Lab. China's operation to exterminate Americans. So this is the lab in California where they found out that Chinese were running this bio lab there. They think it had something to do with COVID and other things. And it says, we know enough to be alarmed. The lab was supposed to be producing COVID-19 and pregnancy tests, but the facility contained items inconsistent with that explanation. The seizures of the lab strongly suggest China's regime is preparing to spread disease in America, undoubtedly in the months before a war. So they're talking about, and I've said this in the last 6 months several times, I'm not predicting it. This is what they're saying, both America and China, that they're predicting they will be at war with each other by 2025. So that's not that far away, and it could be before that, you know, but they're saying by then. And China, from what this article is saying, is planning on putting viruses out there, much worse than COVID-19, bioweapon viruses that would kill a lot of Americans right before a war would start, and maybe even the soldiers, you know, different things. So almost like kamikaze actions going on there. This next one says, U.S. military could create global biological crisis, the Russian intelligence is saying. So they're saying that the Pentagon is creating actually some of these. This is what Russia is saying now. The Pentagon is creating some of these viruses against other people like Russia. So that's an interesting article that you could read. And then it says, gloomy scientists call for people to start wearing COVID masks again as they sound alarm of a new variant, BA.6. That is a lot of mutations. So again, and I could give a whole Bible study just on this. I'm not going to do it now. But I've been telling you since last summer when mysteriously all of these COVID restrictions started to be lifted, you know, of green passports and PCR tests and, you know, needing COVID vaccinations to travel and all this stuff. And I said, don't get too excited. COVID was simply a test for many reasons, not the least being for the lockdowns and seeing what kind of resistance. And I said, this stuff will be coming back and much worse because it's not just about viruses. It's about bringing now this whole mark of the beast system. So there's chatter everywhere. I'm sure you're hearing it because it's on all the national news too. You know, they're all talking about mask mandates coming back by between October and December, maybe even earlier as far as government workers and that kind of thing. And again, pushing the death shot. You know, I've been hoping before Sukkot to put a new video together you know, on COVID and on a lot of the research that they've been coming up with in the last year, showing how many children died from that wicked shot and how many, you know, how many people with this, what was in it. I mean, it's, that shot is so bad. And I know some commentators are saying, and I agree with them, anybody that at this point is pushing that shot or trying to get citizens to take it, they should be brought to the world court and really should, you know, should be executed because they know it now. There's no ignorance that you could take how bad that shot is and how many people died from it. So to still keep pushing it after that is really bad. Okay, so that will be for another day though. And let's look here. Another blow to the petrodollar. India and the UAE complete first oil sales in rupees. Rupees. So now India is doing sales, you know, and they're doing sales with United Arab Emirates, also with Russia, and they're doing it in they're doing it in rupees here, but also in the other one, the BRICS currency. And here's one. It says, "Watch, alarming video shows Chinese troops rehearsing for Taiwan invasion." The Chinese People's Liberation Army Eastern Theater Command has released a provocative video showing troops practicing a coastal invasion of Taiwan. And my personal belief is, you know, I mean, everybody knows sooner or later China's going to invade there. Some people say a matter of months. Some people say it could be a decade or two. But I really believe before this big war starts, that's going to be one of the things that trigger it. And China's waiting for strategically to be able to do it. Because once war starts, there'll be no way that anybody will be able to help Taiwan. They're going to have their own problems in their own countries. So we'll see. But it's a video that will, you know, when I send out this news update, you'll be able to see it. And then it says, will China, Russia, and North Korea launch their nukes? This is another article here talking about them possibly using the nukes against United States and Europe. And I think I will leave it at that. And then the last little article here says, more than 40 nations interested in joining the BRICS. You know, again, the Brazil and Russia and China and India and South Africa, and then these other countries wanting to join them. And like I said, they are, all those countries are buying a lot of gold in their reserves, and they are planning and moving toward. I saw an article today that said basically for all intents and purposes the petrodollar is done, which we've known that for a while, but there's going to be something that'll trigger it officially, and then you're really going to see trouble that happens on the world scene. Recently, artificial intelligence has been keeping, you know, the economy and these things going, but I don't know how far that can go. Everything goes on hype. But there are a lot of new artificial intelligence things coming out. I saw an article that talked about, now they're talking about artificial intelligence, where they're giving people advice on investments, on relationships, you know, on all kinds of things. Can you imagine, you know, you got to get advice from a robot on your relationship. But that's the world we live in, and that's one of the reasons why in the end time, and I've been saying it, we need to come out of commercial Babylon, because it only gets worse. It's not going to turn around. This thing, it's been getting worse every decade since 1940s, you know, in the beginning of the end time, and it's not going to change anytime soon until Yeshua returns and the kingdom of Yahweh happens, which could be in one more short seven. We don't know. You know, I keep saying that it might be two sevens. We don't know. But it could be 1 7. There's some things I'm going to speak about at Sukkot that could show that possibly we could be ending, you know, heading into the last seven here. So let's get started here. We got a big chapter to go over here in Ezekiel 34. Very sobering and interesting chapter that's here, talking about the false shepherds. So maybe, I didn't have it in my notes, but maybe I'll start there. Go to Matthew, actually, before we start in Ezekiel 34. Let's read a scripture too here in Matthew to set the stage for this in Matthew 24. So Matthew 24 and verse 3. It says, and he was sitting, talking about Yeshua, on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what is the sign of your coming at the end of the age, right? So, very simple question, you know, what is the sign of Yeshua's coming in the end of the age for the kingdom to start? And look at the first thing Yeshua said. In answering, Yeshua said to them, see that no man deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will cause many to be deceived. So here we are, Ezekiel 34, and this is what this whole chapter is about. So we are going to dissect this chapter verse by verse, and there's a lot of information here. I really don't think I'm going to get through this in one Bible study here. I have a pretty good feeling we're going to have to do two, because there's 31 verses, because there's a lot of meat in here, and meat that's happening, meat that's going on right now in these end times. So verse 1 of Ezekiel 34, and the word of Yahweh was to me saying, Son of Man, right? We said the same way Yeshua was called the Son of Man, Ezekiel is called the Son of Man. And like we went over last week with the watchman, you know, and Yeshua actually was also a watchman, but Ezekiel was a watchman. We went over all that. I'm not going to go over that again. But he says, Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, right? So these are the pastors, these are the preachers, these are the shepherds, you know, the priests at that time. So says Adonai Yahweh, woe to the shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And in my book, The Great Falling Away, I talk a lot about this. And earlier on in my ministry, going back to the late 1990s and early 2000s, I used to talk a lot more about it. But then there's only so much really you could say about it. You know, especially where at that time many people were coming out of Christianity in different churches and joining us. You know, and now we have a worldwide work that Yahweh has built up. And I don't talk about it as much because most of our people, you know, are not following any of these people. But there's still a lot, there's in the millions of people out there, messianics and evangelicals, that when you look at it, you wonder, in a world we live in today, and in the world of the internet, and the information highway and all that other stuff, how can people be so naive? You know, I remember years ago, and praise Yahweh, I was called at a very young age. You know, I was a Catholic, I wrote that in my book. And I was about 16 years old when I started coming to the truth and started reading my Bible. So Catholicism, to me, isn't even like a religion. It's just like I know it's filled with paganism, but I never even knew what any of that stuff meant. It was just boring to me, to be honest. You know, just sitting there and every week listening to the same prayers and the same stuff. And it was absolutely boring, you know. So I never was involved with evangelical things or any of these things. And to be honest, when I used to see sometimes, like, you're flicking through the channels when I was younger, and like I would see one of these guys like Jimmy Swaggart or one of those that were back then way in the 1980s. I would think like it was like a Saturday Night Live skit. Like, I would think nobody could believe this. I mean, nobody really can believe this. You know, when they put on that voice and the Lord and all that. And I'm like, come on, you know, you got to be kidding. Somebody really believes that? But actually, not just somebody. Millions of people believe it. And not only believe it, these guys are millionaires. Guys like Jesse Duplantis. And have private jets and make up all this stuff. And a lot of them make up all this false prophecy and stuff. So it is important. It is really important because, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are sincere that are getting hooked into this stuff because they've never seen the truth. And, you know, we have our Bright Dion channel. Praise Yahweh for that. We have other channels, too. We have... what's that other one called? But we have at least 3, 4, 5 channels like Bright Dion that are out there. But I remember one of the sermons I put up, and somebody put, you know, just somebody that watched it from the world, they put, wow, this is enlightening. A pastor that actually preaches from the Bible. Because they don't do that today. You know, they don't do that. Some of them bring a Bible and wave it in the air. But they don't preach from it. So this is why, you know, here in chapter 34, officially it's to woe to the shepherds of Israel, who were the, you know, the priests in those days and the Levites. But really, in prophetic form, like I said, Ezekiel is prophetically for the end time. We went over that over and over and over in the book. As we start getting to these next chapters, it talks about Israel being a nation again and all those things, which we're living in those times. So it's definitely prophetic. And it's not just talking about the, you know, the Levitical priests going back several thousand years ago. This is talking about the shepherds today. The shepherds who fleece the flock. And, you know, how can you be a pastor and have millions of dollars, private jets, and I mean, all this kind of money? Where would you get it from? You know, except you're getting it from the people. And how on earth could people not have a problem with something like that? So he says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, the shepherds, so says Adonai Yahweh, woe to the shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock, right? Isn't that our job? Isn't that our job, is to feed the flock, not to feed ourselves? And I saw that, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I decided, like the Apostle Paul, that I didn't want to take a salary, because once you take a salary, you become a hireling. And, you know, praise Elohim, through our ministry, you know, there have been people that Yahweh has put on their heart to help us and to take care of us, because, you know, I don't have a lot of money. And, you know, I work sometimes side jobs and different things. You know, I do whatever I have to do to survive. But my main work is the good news. That is my work. And, you know, I didn't want to be a hireling. And once you take, quote unquote, salary, that's really what you are. You're a hireling. And it will affect how you're thinking about things. So I praise Yahweh, you know, like I said, for how he's put people in our paths at times that have helped us and cared for us. But this here is saying that the vast majority of people claiming to be elders and pastors are literally, and you know, I'm not begrudging somebody that is out there that is a pastor and is taking a salary. You know, the Bible, the Apostle Paul even says that, you know, he who lives by the good news, you know, should be able to, you know, he who works by the good news should be able to live by the good news. But I'm talking about here where people are taking millions of dollars, airplanes, I mean, like things that you couldn't imagine, and it's normal. It becomes normal, and it's one of the things that got me to leave the Catholic Church was, you know, I grew up thinking everyone was a Catholic, that if anybody believed in Yeshua, he must be a Catholic. It just, I didn't know there was other people because I grew up a Catholic. But what really got me to leave the Catholic Church was once I started reading my Bible, as I'm reading the Bible, I saw nothing in the Bible that equated with my life as a Catholic or what I was being taught as a Catholic. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm learning all this Catholic stuff and it has nothing to do with the Bible. And it's the same thing today with religion. This prosperity gospel and all this stuff that's being taught, it is not from Scripture. It is not from the good news that Yeshua brought. You know, and, you know, I said it for many years, people are preaching a good news about Yeshua, but not the message he preached. So they're preaching what a kind-hearted person he was, and he was, and what a loving person he was, and he was, and what a compassionate person he was, and he was, but they're not preaching the message that he brought. And that's what a servant of Yahweh, an elder of Yahweh, a pastor of Yahweh is supposed to be doing. So woe to those shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Jeremiah 23, 1 and 2, we see the same thing. Jeremiah 23, 1 and 2. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says Yahweh. Because of this, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit on you the evil of your doings, says Yahweh. So this is what's happening. This is why all these churches are falling apart and they're breaking apart, because the shepherds are not caring for the flock. And I know, you know, when I was in Church of God, going way back where I came into the truth, and it was a solid organization, a big organization. We had well over 100,000 people worldwide. In our local area in New Jersey, we had more than 1,000 brethren just in one area. And yet, You know, when Herbert Armstrong died and he had a bad government set up there, the way he set it up, he set it up like a hierarchy, which it shouldn't have been. And boom, the congregation that was there for whatever it was, 50 or 60 or 70 years, fell apart almost overnight. So you knew that what Armstrong did wasn't right, because Yeshua has his church, his congregation, let's say, his assembly for 2,000 years, and then it falls apart within a matter of a year or two. And yet the guy who took over for him, Dukach, he changed all the doctrines, changed the Sabbath, changed the holy days, went back to Christmas and Easter and all these things, and scattered the flock. So from that one organization today, you have thousands of organizations that came out of there. And again, the mother organization was Church of God Seventh Day under Andrew Duggar. It wasn't under Armstrong. Armstrong came into the truth through Andrew Duggar and the Church of God Seventh Day. And I write all this in the book there. But this is why it says they're scattering the sheep. That's what they're doing. They're not pulling the sheep together, they're scattering. Micah 3 and verse 11. Micah 3 and verse 11. And really, I'm not going to rush through this, because not just, there are so many aspects to this in the end time. Aspects from Church of God, like I said, you know, from the true lineage of Yeshua's congregation. Aspects from evangelical, aspects from even modern Judaism. But most of these congregations, you're seeing the same thing. So Micah 3 and verse 11 says, her leaders judge for a bribe, and her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for silver. Yet they will lean on Yahweh, saying, is not Yahweh among us? No evil shall come on us. So, like I said, whether it's Judaism, whether it's Christianity, whether even Islam, you're seeing this. You're seeing that quote-unquote religion, which is a word that's not in your scriptures, and that's why, like I said, especially when I go and I'm teaching to groups that really haven't had the truth, that are just coming into it, one of the main messages I like to teach is religion or relationship. Because people are, they're used to growing up with religion, and yet religion isn't in scripture, relationship is in scripture. So that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that in all of these religions, that's what they do. They're out there for profit. They're out there for money. They're out there for selling things, you know. And you got all these evangelists on TV. And, you know, and I met a lot of them in Israel over the years, you know. And I don't really want to mention names, because they're all in the same bucket. So, you know, why pinpoint one or the other? But a lot of these guys, and you can fill in the blank of any of them, these evangelicals, you know, they have their 23 minutes of a little thing there. And some of them are interesting. Some of them about Israel or things in the Bible or word in the Bible. But they all end the same way. They all end with trying to sell you something. They all end with trying to sell you a book, a CD, a love gift, you know, of all this stuff. And it's not cheap. You know, they're not talking to, hey, face it, you make a book, you know, and it costs money to make that book, and you have to ship the book out, you know, like when we send one Bible overseas, it costs us like $30, sometimes even more than that. Sometimes it can even be, if it's going to Australia or New Zealand or one of these places, it could be like close to $50 just to send the Bible, not what it costs or anything else. So I understand, and again, I'm not judging people that are asking for a donation or asking for money for that. But I am judging people that are making a DVD that costs like 2 cents and they're selling it for $30, $50, $80, you know, a set of them, 4 or 6 of them for $200, because that is nothing but a hireling. That is nothing but bribery. Bribery, that's there. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. And these people don't care for the flock. They really don't. And in the time we're living in, like I said, when the trouble comes, you won't see any of these charlatans around. They're going to be long gone in their airplane, their private islands, and all this other stuff that they're doing. But 2 Peter says about the end time, look what he says, but false prophets were also among the people, as also false teachers will be among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and denying the master who has bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And many will follow their destructive ways, by whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And by covetousness, and in the Aramaic, it's literally by fraud, by covetousness, fraud, with well-turned words. They will use you for gain, for whom judgment from the very beginning has not ceased, and their destruction is always active. Their destruction is always active. It never ends. It's not a one-time thing, right? So every month there's a crisis. Every month there's something, you know, we're going to go down. We're going to get taken off the air, you know. Please help us, this one-time thing. And then next month it'll be another thing. Next month, another thing. Next month. So it's always the same thing. But it's the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? But hirelings never care about the flock. Hirelings only care about themselves. Let's go to John, book of John, 10th chapter. The hireling could care less. He only cares about padding his own pockets. Okay. Verse 7 of John 10 says, "Then Yeshua again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will have life and will go in and will go out and will find pasture. The thief does not come except that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd,'" Yeshua is speaking. "The good shepherd lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. But the hireling," right? The guy who's selling you that DVD for $49.99, your life depends on it. "But the hireling, not even being a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and forsakes the sheep and flees." And that's what they do. "And the wolf seizes them and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling and there is not a care to him concerning the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know those that are mine and I am known by the ones that are mine." And, you know, our ministry from Israel this past year was just 25 years. We just had our silver anniversary here. And it's been an amazing time. And I think sometimes people don't realize, like, this was not planned out this way. You know, when we left Babylon back in 1999, you know, we went down to Honduras and we thought, we always knew Yahweh would be calling his people back to Israel in the end times. And we went there thinking we might be there for 20 years. You know, who knows? We were just going to wait. But Yahweh had other thoughts. And he was testing me and he brought us to Israel. And, you know, the rest is history. How he worked this ministry for the last 25 years and has did the Hebrew Roots Bible and, you know, the 19-year time cycle that we did the feast in Israel and now in the wilderness in Jordan and being able to have a worldwide ministry. So that's the blessing part. Now, on the other end, there's always an up and down to thing. There are many congregations where I went there myself and I started the congregations and built up the congregations just like the Apostle Paul did. And then there's other times where there were a congregation that was already there and they would contact us and they'd say, "Hey, we want to join you. You know, we heard about the work that you're doing and we believe you're the servant of Yahweh in these end times and we want to join your work," which is great. So, but the problem is with that is when a congregation joins us and there's already, say, 500 people in that congregation or up to 1,000 people, whatever, the number doesn't matter. But the point of it is, I was never able to vet those people. So when we're starting a congregation from scratch, what do? I go and I spend time with that elder and I raise him up. And we go over, you know, the congregation. I say the first year that a new congregation is with us, all they're going to learn is the 27 lessons. And they're grounded. And what happens is those people in those kind of congregations, very rarely does an elder leave or even any of the brothers or sisters. Very rarely. But where congregations that have joined us, you know, and that's, like I said, it's great. We want everyone to join us if they want to. But where there were elders there before they met me, and I wasn't able to vet every elder, I can honestly tell you some of those men I saw, wow, this guy is not qualified at all. And what's happened is sometimes that an elder in one of these areas will be removed. I mean, I don't like to say anything because I like to leave it to the local congregation. But sometimes the local congregation will find out, oh, this guy has just been a fraud or he's out for money or whatever. And it's ironic that some of these people that were brown nosers and they want to say to me, oh, you know, you're this and you're that, you know, you're Elijah, you're that. And again, like Yeshua said, I never let it get to me because I know the same guy that's telling me I'm Elijah is the same guy that will, once he doesn't get what he wants, will leave the congregation and say I'm the devil. So they're only saying those things thinking they're going to get flattery, and it doesn't work because it's nonsense, you know. I'm following Yahweh and I'm trying to do my best, and that's all I'm trying to do, you know. So I don't need flattery from men, especially false men. And then that's what will happen. These men that supposedly were elders, they'll wind up, when they don't get what they want, they'll leave. They'll leave the flock. They don't care about the flock because they're hirelings. Once there's nothing more for them to achieve, you know, and they see that they're not going to get any money or they're not going to get anything else. And unfortunately, I'm being honest with you, in doing a ministry for 25 years, international ministry from Israel, wow. I had my fair share of people that were trying to join us just for money. And when they didn't get it, then they go off and they do something else. So sooner or later, Yahweh exposes them. But the point of it is, they're not shepherds. They're not shepherds. They're false shepherds. And they're hirelings. And you have to see, when somebody is a hireling, the money will always come first. Right? They say this in everything in life, not only in religion, but in everything. Follow the money. Right? In COVID, follow the money. You know, all the money that was there, all the patents that were there before COVID came from 2015. And when you follow the money, you'll find out who's a real servant of Yahweh and who's not. And I feel bad for a lot of our elders that live in the third world because they're working full time and they don't get any money. And they're working full time for Yahweh, and I admire these men. And we have a great set now, a great camaraderie and a great list. And like I said, there's roughly 250 of us. Elders worldwide. You know, we have the council from Jerusalem and we work together, and praise Yahweh for that. Things are going well, but it wasn't without casualties, you know, weeding out those false, just like the Apostle Paul said, these false connivers that are there, and even Yeshua said they're hirelings. So verse 3, Ezekiel 34 and verse 3. You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you sacrifice the fat ones, and you do not feed the flock. This has been another problem through the years. I'm just being totally honest with the brethren. We're getting aid to places sometimes. Man, you know, today we have a good system. And I got to tell you, most of the aid that we will bring somewhere will get in the right hands. But in the past, it wasn't always like that. You know, you send aid somewhere, and you're finding out the guy who's the elder, he's taking all the clothes and all the best things for himself. And the other people, they don't even know you sent something. You know, years and years ago, more than 20 years ago, you know, me and Petra used to ship boxes every month from Israel. We would be shipping boxes out and to different places, mostly Africa and Asia and different places. And then it got too expensive. The clothes were worth, you know, what it cost to ship them was more than what the clothes were worth. But the point of it is, in those days, a lot of times they didn't get there. And that's what you eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you sacrifice the fat ones, and you do not feed the flock. And I always said, again, like I said, praise Yahweh, that I've taken the high road, because I always said, you could accuse me for a lot of stuff, but you're never going to accuse me for money, because I don't take money from the congregation. So, but I know sometimes an elder has to. An elder has to take. And I always said, if it's an elder and he does need to take money to live on, because he's working for the work full time, the way he should do it is, he should find out what every single person in that congregation makes, and he should take less than the least person in the congregation. So let's say I have a congregation of 200 people, and the highest person in my congregation is making $150,000 a year, and the lowest person in my congregation is making $20,000 a year. Then I should take less than $20,000. I should be taking the least of everybody. And then you're not a hireling at that point. So, but here, they're eating the fat, they're clothing themselves with the wool, they sacrifice the fat ones, but they're not feeding the flock. They're not feeding the flock, and that's why they're hirelings. Isaiah 56 and verse 11. Isaiah 56, 11 says, "Yea, dogs greedy of soul, they do not know satisfaction, and they are shepherds. They do not know to discern. They all look to their own way, each one to his own gain from his own end," right? "Saying, come, let us bring wine and let us gulp down for men to drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day great, exceedingly abundant." So this is the point of it, you know. that a hireling, like I said, is always going to look out for himself. And it's been a long, long time since we really talked about this subject. And to be honest with you, even a couple months, even before I knew this was going to be coming up, Yahweh was putting on my heart, you know, you need to talk about this again, because there are so many hirelings out there and so many people that are getting hoodwinked into this stuff. And people have to know that we're different. They have to know that we're not like that. So we want to make sure, and it doesn't, it's not just money, it's with anything that is elders, and I know many elders will be listening to this in our congregation. You want to make sure that you're not always taking the best for yourself, but you should be giving to the sheep in all different kinds of ways, you know, whatever it is, you know, but putting the brethren first, not putting your own first. Verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick, and you have not bound up the broken, and the banished have not been brought back. And you have not sought the lost, but you rule them with force and with hardness. Force and with hardness. And this is one of the things that really, really angers me. When I find out in an area that not only is there an elder there that's like, you know, Hitler, you know, or, you know, like a general there, but he has the brethren feared that if they say anything, that they're going to be reprimanded or kicked out of the congregation or something else. And it boils my blood, because again, we are the leaders and brethren are putting their trust in us, and, you know, they're believing us. And how could we treat them that way? It's like, it's inconceivable. You know, we're all human beings. We make mistakes. So, you know, hey, so be it. I make mistakes. So it's not that I'm saying that an elder isn't going to make a mistake or isn't going to say something he shouldn't to somebody or maybe make a wrong decision. But I'm talking about an elder that is browbeating, an elder that is really browbeating the brethren and then threatening them, right? They haven't strengthened the weak. They haven't healed the sick. And they bound up, not bound up the broken. They banished and have been brought back, and they have not sought the lost, but you ruled them with force and with harshness. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, right? That's no shepherd. So what happens? The sheep are leaving. And it's one indication to me, because, you know, through the years, and again, one elder can plant and one elder can water, but Yahweh has to give the increase. And I know it takes time. At times, especially in areas where there isn't leadership, like in Thailand, it took years for us to start to grow until we got a male elder there. And then now things are really growing fast. But in other areas, we've had male elders and all of a sudden there is no growth. And I'm wondering, how could there be that an elder has been there for X amount of years and there's no growth? Something's strange here. Something is wrong here. And a lot of times, and again, it could just be the time period. Sometimes, you know, it takes time for something to be built up. But sometimes it's because the elder was, you know, he wasn't building up the flock, because people were leaving, because people, you know, they didn't want to put up with it. And instead of coming and saying something, little by little, they just left. So they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. What do? They go to these other congregations like that are, you know, it's amazing sometimes when I see somebody leave and go back to a Sunday congregation, or sometimes even go to a Jewish rabbi. Leave the faith, deny Yeshua, and go to a rabbi? It's like, how on earth can that happen? But it does. Believe it or not, it's happened. So they became food for all the beasts of the field. And they were scattered. Matthew 9 and verse 36. Matthew 9 and verse 36. It says, "And seeing the crowds, he, Yeshua, was moved with pity concerning them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Like sheep having no shepherd. I'll tell you something. For me, it is the greatest honor in my life that Yahweh called me to be a shepherd of his people. I never sought it. You know, when I was in church, I never thought about being an elder or being a shepherd. Just wanted to serve, that's all. had my own business. I was happy. I was young. But, you know, when Yahweh calls you to that, it is a great responsibility. And you have to look at it that way. And that's why I praise Yahweh. Like recently, a few months back, we had a gigantic conference in Kenya and had people there from all different kinds of countries. And we had more than 600 people that were there, elders and brethren. And I was able to really give good teachings on this. And that's what it needs. It needs to be nurtured. So I'm really, really praying and hoping that, you know, depending on what happens here with world events and COVID and all that other stuff and new lockdowns, as long as the time is there, that I can continue to go to our elders and train them. I also put together workbooks and different materials for teaching on this. But they have to. We have to make sure that our brethren are not becoming food for the beasts of the field, you know, and being scattered out there. And like Yeshua said, they were like sheep having no shepherd. Verse 6, my sheep strayed through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my sheep were scattered on all the face of the earth, and none searched and none sought for them. Wow, that's sad. That is really sad. And you know, sometimes I'll meet somebody, you know, at a meeting, or they get in contact with their congregation, and they'll say that. They'll say, yeah, you know, I was in Church of God, or I was in this, you know, organization, this assembly for a while, and, you know, whatever bad thing happened, and I left, and nobody ever called me. Not one person, you know, or elder ever came looking for me, ever tried to. And I know sometimes they don't want you to, but other times you really need to. You really need to look out why, if somebody just disappeared, why they're not there anymore, and what could have happened. Acts 20 and verse 29. Acts 20 and verse 29. Because it's a really, really sad thing. You know, just like it says when we baptize someone, there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous. But there's more sadness over one lost also. You know. So, Acts 20 and verse 29. For I know this, this is the Apostle Paul saying right before he's getting ready to leave. For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And out of you yourself will rise up men speaking perverted things in order to draw away the disciples after themselves. Because of this, watch, remembering that I did not cease admonishing each one with tears night and day for 3 years. Wow. And, you know, sometimes I've been naive in my time as an elder. And in the third world countries, you know, we have more elders, we have more brethren, and people do have more of a mindset of judicial order, and this doesn't happen. But it does happen sometimes. You know, it does happen sometimes where a false pastor will come in and, you know, or leave and take a whole bunch of people with him that they'll follow him. But it's sad when that happens. And like I said, I've been naive to the point to think, wow, the brethren, that they're too grounded for that. You know, they would never fall for that. They're too grounded. But a lot of times they're not. And that's why, you know, I just wrote a letter to our elders just a couple of days ago telling them, you know, as the Shemitah ends, you know, two things I want to do for this coming year is, beside replenishing our food and getting ready for the days ahead, the first thing is getting the brethren to go over all 27 lessons. You've got to ground yourself, you know. And, you know, you noticed that about a week ago, 10 days ago, our server was down a couple of days. We knew it. We were redoing the internals in the website to make sure that there's not a problem. But some people got scared, you know, when they came on there and they couldn't get the sermons. And it hit me, you know, it is going to happen. And sometimes you take for granted, you know, that that website's just going to be there. Or like now, praise Yahweh, if I got something that I got to share with you, I can get on there and I can send it out to 50,000 people with one press of a button, you know, and get it all over the world. But that's going to end too, you know, and the time is going to come where I'll be doing a sermon like this just with the people that are here in the room, you know, and it won't be able to go out. You know, and I know it. I already know that when this next phase comes in these QR codes, you won't be able to get on the internet unless you to have the mark of the beast and all these things. So we want to make sure that we're grounded. You want to make sure that, wow, that if your local elder or myself or whoever, you know, that if we're not here or you know, you're not getting any more messages or they take down our website, that that those lessons and that doctrine is in ground that you'll never change. You'll never leave your faith. And you have to make sure. You got to make sure. You know, because, again, like I'm saying here, you know, all of these false people, wow, you could be in an area where you don't have any shepherd, and that's bad. Because you want to make sure you're there with a true shepherd, and we're going to see that Yahweh says it. Yahweh says he'll give his people true shepherds. He says, for this reason, verse 7, shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. So now, for all the reasons I gave over, and we took a lot of time to go over six verses, but it's important. He says, as I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, surely because my sheep became a prey, and my sheep became food for all the beasts of the field from not having a shepherd, and because my shepherds did not search for my sheep, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed the flock. So, O shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. So says Adonai Yahweh, verse 10. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep from their hand and cause them to cease from pasturing the flock. And the shepherds will no longer feed themselves, for I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, and they will not be food to devour. And I'll be honest with you, I honestly believe with Church of God breaking up, that that's part of the fulfillment of this scripture, because what happened was, when the Church of God split, it caused, like when we started, we were just a house congregation, and many other elders, and elders that can come out of that system, because it was a bad system. Most of those churches are 501(c), the government corporations, you know, and that's the Laodicean era. So a lot of good elders came out of that. And here we are today, you know, 25 years later, you know, and not just us, you know, other ministries too. We're not the only one out there. But it caused a lot of elders to be able to come out, go into, you know, get away from that corporate type structure and really be able to feed the sheep. Yahweh says, I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, and they will not be food to devour. For so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And that's why no man can come to me, John 6:44, unless the Father draws him. And that's why I don't believe the Bible says we are to be a proselytizing. You know, we're not to be going out there on the street corners with a megaphone and be pleading with people, you know, to accept. What we are to do is we are to bring this good news message to the world, and the ones that Yahweh is calling will come to it. We have to make it available. We have to make it, you know, where they can get it. And then those, because Yahweh will search out for his sheep. John 10 and verse 16. John 10 and verse 16. He says, and I also have other sheep, Yeshua is still talking, those who were not from this sheepfold. And also them, it is necessary for me to bring them, and they will hear my voice, and the flocks will become one, and there will be one shepherd. So ultimately, this is talking about the regathering from Ezekiel 37, which will be there probably right after Sukkot. But in general, it's talking about Yeshua saying there's other sheep all over the place that he's going to get, but he is searching for them. Luke 10 and verse 19. Luke 10 and verse 19. He says, Behold, I give authority to you to tread on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So this is the authority that Yeshua is giving to his shepherds that are going out and seeking the lost. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 34. As a shepherd seeks his flock in the day, that he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them from all the places where they were scattered in a day of cloud, in thick cloud, right? That's why you have to follow the cloud. Because when the cloud moves, if you're staying there, you don't want to get left behind. I remember in Church of God when it was, I mean, here it is. They changed the Sabbath there. They're putting up Christmas trees. And I left as soon as it happened. The first day it happened, I walked out. I never came back again when they changed the Sabbath day and that. But when I would talk to people, friends of mine that were still there, and they said, yeah, we're waiting for Elohim to do something. We're waiting for him to do something. And this is like 3 years later, and I'm like, he already did it. You know, we already have a new organization. We're already meeting. We already have a congregation. And you're still waiting there. You know, you're left behind. That's what's being left behind. And that's what he's saying, you know, that you have to make sure that you're moving with the cloud. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they are scattered in a day of cloud with the cloud. Jeremiah 23:3. He says, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their fold, and they will be fruitful and multiply. And while I would have never thought that a tiny, you know, we started with just a few people in a living room, you know, when we left the Church of God, you know, and started Congregation of Yahweh, I would never thought that Yahweh could have put it into a worldwide work all over the world as he has today. But he does, because he is the one. He is the one seeking out his flock, and he is the one that is going to gather them from all the places where he's brought them. Verse 13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the lands, and I will bring them to their land and feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the places of their dwelling. So I think I'm going to stop there, because now we're kind of switching subjects here from the false pastors that have been keeping these people in bondage to Yahweh taking the people out. And chapter 36 is all about that. We'll be going over that again in a few weeks to come. But now he's talking about it. So it's the same thing. You know, when the Church of God fell apart, I was devastated, because that was my mother. That's where I came into the truth. I loved it. I had hundreds of friends. I mean, I only have good memories from Church of God. The feasts, everything, even the elders there were all men that I respected and admired. But when it broke apart years later, I realized why it had to fall apart. Because they had a wrong structure. They had a wrong structure set up by Herbert Armstrong that had to be torn down, you know, because it wasn't of Yahweh. So if Yahweh is not the builder of the house, the weary builders build in vain, right? So this is what happens, and this is why if Yahweh didn't destroy some of these organizations, then he couldn't seek out his flock. Because I know I would have never left. Why would I? I wouldn't leave. I always believed in judicial order. But certainly if they're going to change the doctrine that is Yahweh's, I'm not going to stay there, you know. But if it's just because of people and things and situations, I never let that stuff bother me. I stay focused on the big picture. And because I know Satan is a roaring lion, and I know that's what he looks for. But now we're seeing that Yahweh has used the situation with these false shepherds and people leaving organizations and leaving congregations to go to the wilderness, and Yahweh calling his people out to bring them to the truth and to bring them back to the land of Israel. And like I said, that's why I really believe our ministry there has been a shadow of what's to come. But really the big thing is going to come, not from me or our ministry. It's going to come when Yeshua returns. You know, that's the one thing that I've come to learn, you know, the hard way. That the greater, you know, I've never said the greater regathering happens in this time. But just even, you know, that any regathering will only happen when Yeshua returns. And this is what it's all talking about. But we are the embryo of that. But that's why we have to go to the wilderness in order to be taken back there. So I am going to stop there because, like I said, we're getting into another subject. I have a lot of scriptures to go over. And we will pick up next week from verse 13. And we still have a lot of stuff to go over. I hope I can finish it all in one more week, but so be it. Whatever Yahweh's will is, because these are important messages. This is end time stuff. This is prophecy that's going on, and we're living it. So these are things that are helping us to get through the days we're in. So I pray you have a blessed Sabbath, and until next week, Shabbat Shalom.